Okay, the definition of the word iniquity. When you look in Webster's 1828 dictionary, you will see it means unrighteousness, sin, crimes, want of holiness, or unholiness. That's what it means. In the Hebrew from Strong's, it's 5771, and it's avon, and it means perversity, moral evil, fault, mischief, and sin. The title of this message this morning is, Why Can I Fulfill the Law of Christ? How interesting. Usually you hear messages that say, How can I fulfill the law of Christ? That's not what I'm talking about. Maybe I'll say something about that in the end. But my point is, why can I do it? Why can I do it? And so that's what we're going to learn about. Why can we do it? What does the word say about iniquities? Leviticus 16, 21 and 22, we see Aaron, the priest, the high priest, laying his hands on the goat and confessing over the goat all of the iniquities of the children of Israel. Then he sends this goat away into the wilderness. It's called the scapegoat. The goat is bearing the iniquities of the people. In Leviticus 26, 39, it says that the Israelites shall pine away in their and their father's iniquities. Numbers 14:34 tells us the Israelites shall bear their iniquities in the wilderness for 40 years. Oh my goodness, there's that little word. You better have a bite of your cookie. They shall bear, B-E-A-R, they shall bear, not for walking around, but we're going to use it anyway. We're going to use the same word anyway. So have a piece of cookie. In Ezra 9, we read that their iniquities have increased and increased. But even in that, God has punished them less than they deserve. The Israelites were really deep, deep in iniquity, in sin, in unrighteousness, in unholiness. They lacked even a desire for holiness. They wanted their iniquities, and they were going after them full speed. God could have wiped them out right there. He is sovereign, you know. He could have wiped them out. But the word tells us that God has punished them less than they deserve. Nehemiah 9:2 says, The seed of Israel separated themselves from all the strangers, and they stood and confessed their iniquities. There came a time when they were rebuilding the temple, when they were coming and rebuilding the walls in Ezra and Nehemiah, when the Spirit of God came upon them, and they turned back again to God, and they wanted to live for God, and they put away the strange wives and the things that had come in to corrupt them, the foreign gods. They put those away, and they stood and confessed their iniquities before the Lord. Wow. In Job, we see Job confessing to God all of his iniquities, and that he sees them as going over his head. And they are a very, very heavy burden to him. And of course, his friends continually remind him of this fact. Isn't that great when you're down and out? Sometimes your friends are really sweet to you. When you're down, they kick you and remind you how unholy and what a sinner you are. Not good. Job begs God to blot them out, not his friends, but his iniquities. In fact, things turned for him when he started praying for them. In the Psalms, we read about searching out our iniquities and how they prevail against us. However, the psalmist talks of God purging them away. We see the psalmist begging God to not remember them. Again and again, we see the psalmist speaking of God's forgiveness of iniquities. So we love the Psalms because they give us hope. The psalmist states, God does not reward us according to our iniquities. Thank God. Thank God he does not reward us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. And the psalmist states, who could stand if God marked us for our iniquities? The psalmist also talks about God's redeeming us from our iniquities. Again, the Psalms, what a precious place to go and read when we feel we're losing hope, when we feel things are turning bad for us. We go and we see the heart of the psalmist. In fact, today's psalm is just incredible. I read it in the Message Bible, out of the Message Bible this morning, and honest to goodness, everything's coming down on David's head. I mean, he is in real trouble, and he just cries out to God, and he says, God, will you please listen to me? Will you please listen? Are you listening? And I love the way David faces God, because it gives me hope. It's real to me. It's very real, because I get in that same place. Looks good on the outside, maybe, but inside, you're just going through some really hard things. Well, the psalmist cried out to God, and therefore was given strength. And it's sometimes in really crying out to him that we see things, and when we go into that special place with him and in meditation with him, and when we pray to him and go into our closet to talk to him, that we all of a sudden see things from a different light. The Spirit of God comes upon us, and the psalmist, I don't know if you realize, but many times the psalmist rehearses everything. In fact, some of it gets so long and drawn out. But he talks about how wonderful God is in creation, in the universe, and everything. And that's to build his faith. When we do that, when things are bad for us, start talking to God about who he is and what he is, and then all of a sudden you'll see, oh my gosh, you really are big enough. If you can do that to the oceans, you can handle me too. I'm sure Royal and Dan felt this way during the last couple of weeks. Lord, you're in charge of this engine, and there must be a reason why we're here for 2 weeks instead of, what was it, 5 days, 5 to 10 days to get home, and 2 weeks have already gone by. Anyway, but God will give us hope for our own lives as we turn to him and read the Psalms. And as we're honest about what's going on in our lives. In Isaiah, we read the devastating effects of Israel's iniquities upon them. And why was it devastating? Because they had come to the point where they wearied God with their iniquities. That's what the word says. They wearied God. Then glory, looking to a better day, the psalmist states in Psalm 53, verse 5, there was coming a day when our Savior would be bruised for our iniquities. And in verse 11, he shall bear... take another little bite of a cookie. He shall bear our iniquities. There's coming a day, the psalmist said, which gave them hope and gives us hope. He says the iniquities separated us from God. And we know we have iniquities. Bottom line, we all know we are sinners. We all know we are unholy. We all know there are things in us that we are not there yet. We are not perfected yet. In Christ are we, yes. But as we walk it out, we still do things that grieve God and grieve us and grieve those that we're joined to. Jeremiah says the Israelites kept going back to their iniquities, and their iniquities testified against them. But then God speaking says he will cleanse them from all their iniquities, a precious promise from the book of Jeremiah. I like the book of Jeremiah. I admire him. I admire Jeremiah. I admire many of those major prophets, what they went through. I don't know how I would have come through it. You know, Jeremiah had a terrible life. The things he had to do for God, it was incredible. But he comes out and he knows in his spirit this promise. He will cleanse us from all our iniquities. And he's able to say that to Israel. We read in Lamentations and in Ezekiel more about iniquities. Ezekiel tells us much doom comes on the Israelites because of their desire to live in their iniquities or sins. And that the people shall come to a point where they loathe themselves and they become ashamed. I could stop here for a while because I think that's what happens to Christians also. I think we come to Christ, and then instead of believing we are who he says we are, that Christ is in us, we come to a point where we get trapped in Christian depression. That's what I call it, Christian depression. Because we know who we should be, we know what we should be doing, but we still find ourselves living sometimes in sin or as sinners. Let me bring it down to something really simple. We snap at our husband or our wife, and we know we're not pleasing God as we're angry. And I know an experience. Carl and I were driving to Oregon, and there was a place where in driving, it was an uncomfortable place for me, and I snapped at him just the way I said it. There was just I asked a question. You can ask a question about how someone's driving, but you can ask it in a nice way, or you can say it kind of in an accusatory way. And I did it the wrong way. And I saw the effect that it had on him, and I thought, boy, I can't let this go. I need to talk about this. And so we talked about it, and I asked his forgiveness. He told me what it had done to him, and we discussed it. And wow, how beautiful it was to clear the air and ask forgiveness, that I didn't have to stay there. Because had I stayed there and had we not talked about it, what would have happened is I would have sat there and say, so you're a Christian, you're a pastor, good for you, and you loathe yourself because of what you just did, and you're ashamed. My countenance was down, and I wouldn't have been any good. I would have gotten out of the car, said goodbye, and said, Lou, doggone, why did that happen? Do you hear what I'm saying? Can you relate to it? That desire to stay there is so wrong. We need to know, confess it. I confessed. I said I did the wrong thing. I said it the wrong way. Please forgive me. And wow, that brings restoration. Let's not desire to live in those iniquities. When the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts to come on us, as Christians, let's quickly turn to him and say, oh my God, I did it wrong again, Lord. Confess it to him and then get it right with the person who you have probably offended. Amen. Daniel speaks of the same things as Ezekiel, but goes on to say they missed it by not praying to God about their inability to change. When you're having trouble and you just find yourself drowning in it, drowning in that sin, drowning in that iniquity, then what you need to do is pray to God, I can't change this. Do something. Come to my aid. Help me out of this. I'm sinking. Help me. Help me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, show me a way. Show me the light that I can get out of this. That's why we read the Word consistently. Because in reading the Word consistently, God has material to work on with us. And he can take us back to that reading. Or as you're reading, you say, oh my gosh, I did that yesterday. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And give me what I need to make it right with the person that I have offended. Amen. Amos tells them how God had set them apart, but they rejected him, their God, so they would be punished for their iniquities. Micah 7:19. This once again gives us hope. Micah says, God will turn again. God will have compassion upon us. God will subdue our iniquities and will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. Are you convinced? I am convinced. He is bigger than my sin. He is bigger than my besetting sin. Is he bigger than yours? Amen. Let's say yes, yes, yes. So are you convinced by this time that you might have some iniquity in your own life? Just a little unrighteousness, just a little unholiness, just a little lack of holiness, huh? Just a little. Okay, I want you to write some scratches on those lines. You don't have to write things out. You don't have to write all your iniquities down. I'm not asking you to do that. But when you think of something, put a little scratch on your paper. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Just put some. I want you to see your sinner, okay? And don't tell me you aren't. You can say you aren't, then get up here and you take over, okay? Just something you did last week, something you did this morning, something you did since you got here today. Oh no, when we walk through those doors, we're perfect. I don't think so. Just put some little scratches down there. You know, you can put great big ones. You can put marks all over the paper if you want. You know, we're not alone in this. It was at the end of Paul's life that he said, I am chiefest of sinners. Not at the beginning, not when he was first saved. At the end of his life. Because then we become more sensitive to God and we see even the little things grieve him. And they become grievous to us because we don't want, there's something in us that doesn't want to hurt the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in us that wants us to live in harmony and love with one another. So now you've got your list. Ouchie, 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 ouchie. Like we hear on Monday night. Are you ready for some good news? I can't say it quite like he does, but you know, are you ready for some football? Are you ready for some good news? Paul says in Acts 3:26 that God, having raised up Jesus, sent him to bless us by turning away every one of us from our iniquities. Woo! Yes! God did it. He did it. He did it for us. Glory to God. I feel like, you know, Andrew trying to stand up and cheer song this morning, and I wanted to do that as she was playing. I just want to stand up and, yes, yes, yes! Amen. He is so good. There is no way we could have handled it on our own. We would have been stuck just the way the Israelites were stuck, right? But he provided for us. Paul says in Romans, we are blessed because our iniquities are forgiven. He says in Hebrews, God will not even remember our iniquities. That gave it away, didn't it? Paul says in Hebrews. Because folks, if Paul didn't write Hebrews, I don't know who on earth did. He did. He was the author. It sounds like him. It smells like him. It tastes like him. He wrote. It must be him. Yeah, he did. But the important thing, he says God will not even remember our iniquities. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Then why are we? Why should we remember them if he says he won't? When we remember them, what it brings on is we loathe ourselves and we are ashamed. And then our feet are tied and we cannot walk the Christian walk in the victory that Jesus has provided for us. Wow, wow, wow. He says it two times in Hebrews. He says, therefore, he has borne our iniquities. It's a done deal. It's finished, so he said. Borne our iniquities. That's better than the born supremacy. He supremely, somebody got it. Somebody's seen the movie, right? He supremely bore our iniquities. Good for him. He is a bearer of our iniquities. Okay, I don't want you to ever see a bear or hear the word bear again without connecting that to the fact that he bore our iniquities, thus we have victory. So, for the rest of the message, just a minute. To bear, what does it mean? It means to remove from, to suffer, to carry away, to entertain, to remove the effects of. Ooh, I like that one. To remove the effects of. To be charitable towards. To aid in distress. He suffered to carry our iniquities away from us as the goat in Leviticus. He endured for us so that we don't have to endure for ourselves. Give those bears a hug. You can hug them. Amen. The key is we need to reckon on this very fact He did it for us. We are a blessed people. Pastor Kev has been saying this over and over and over again. We need to reckon on it. We are blessed because he bore for us our sins. Steve Arterberg says, for God was so hung up on love for us that he sent his one and only son to hang on a cross, that if any of us would give our hang-ups to him, woo, we might hang out with him forever. Hallelujah. Let's hang out for him forever because he hung for us. Remember, what we believe determines how we live. If we believe we are complete in him, we will live like that. But if we believe that we are surrounded by our iniquities, we will be ashamed and we will never live Christianity the way Christ has provided for us to live Christianity. Because of this, we have been given the delight of bearing one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. Why can I fulfill the law of Christ? I can because he has borne my iniquities. Galatians 6:2 tells us, bear ye, hug those bears again and eat a cookie, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's an image of subservience that demands more than convenience, and we are to do this in humility. And it's easy to do it in humility when you know you are a sinner, and if it weren't for him, you'd still be like that. Amen. We can't do it ourselves. We can't help ourselves. Only he can help us. We are to lend a helping hand with heavy loads, physical and emotional too. And I think we are walking in that way here in Door of Grace. I love it. I know we do it physically. We are helping one another, and that's precious, and emotionally too. Jesus himself sums it up by saying in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So this morning in sharing, we've heard two messages, and the first sets us up for the second. Number one, we had iniquity in us. God sent Jesus to take care of something we had no power to take care of on our own. It cost him everything. He did it for you and for me. And number two, because of this, we are free to love one another and to help each other carry the burdens of everyday life right here in Port Ludlow. Let me close with a story about the Special Olympics held in Seattle a few years ago. Some of you might be familiar with this story. It was the 100-yard dash. There were 9 mentally and physically challenged children competing against one another. The children were so excited to be a part of this race. The starting gun fired, and all 9 kids ran down the track as fast as they could. Suddenly, one of the boys stumbled and rolled over. A gasp spread through the stands. Then, with no prompting, a little girl with Down syndrome stopped and turned around. She went to the fallen boy, she knelt beside him, and said, here, this will make it feel all better. Then she kissed him on the cheek. One by one, the other special runners stopped and returned to the spot where the boy lay crumbled. They reached out and helped him up. Then, arm in arm, all 9 of those wonderful kids went toward the finish line together. They all crossed the line at the same time so that all 9 could win. Rivers of tears flowed down the faces of the onlookers who stood to their feet to applaud grace delivered when least expected. We're all strugglers together, stumbling to the finish line. We need each other. Now, in your notes, if you look at your notes, the bottom part, there's a few fill-ins. Let's truly believe what Jesus, the fill-in is Jesus, has done for us in taking our iniquities and bearing them for us. So we can now bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, then we, Door of Gracers, will all cross that finish line together. Amen. Now, Father, take these words, I pray. Let them resonate in our hearts today. Father, that your point might be made, that you have done it for us, for each and every one of us. Father, that we are enabled. We know why we can fulfill the law of Christ. Let us go out with a positive attitude this morning, Lord, knowing that we're going to shine for you and our community this week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We're grateful. We're humbled. And Jesus, we love you with our whole hearts. Amen.